camp starts now.
Hello and welcome back to the William Hill Fight Camp podcast. I'm your host, David Alorca, and we're looking ahead to the Fight Camp finale. It's week four, and we finish with a bang. Week three definitely delivered big wins for John Doherty, Kieran Conway, Rachel Ball, and of course, Felix Cash last time out. But now, it's on to Saturday's monster pay-per-view show, live on Sky Sports Box Office. Dillian White and Alexander Povetkin collide in the main event with the WBC Diamond Belt now on the line, fresh from the hands of Mr. Maurizio Sulaiman himself, and on its way to the UK for that fight. In addition to White's WBC interim title, which is also on the line. There's a guaranteed tear-up to open up the show between Jack Cullen and Zach Chelly. Months in the making, one that I'm super looking forward to, Luther Clay and Chris Too Slick Congo contest the WBO Global Welterweight strap. Croatian heavyweight Alan Babic steps up against Shaundell Winters. And of course, the epic rematch of last June's undisputed lightweight battle between Katie Taylor and Delphine Pasoon. We hear from Katie Taylor and her trainer, Ross Enmate, now to start the show.
The fight was obviously too close for my liking, so this fight has kind of been hanging over my head over the last year or so. I was delighted that this fight was actually nailed down again. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to putting on a more dominant performance on August the 22nd and just shutting up all the doubters and shutting up everyone really that has criticised me over the last year. So I'm definitely really looking forward to this fight. For me, myself, I wanted a fight. I wanted this rematch, and I want to be involved in the biggest fights at the end of the day and the fights that people are interested in. And this is a huge fight for me and Pursuit. It's a huge fight for the sport. And these are the kind of fights that I want to be involved in.
Eddie Hearn's obviously been huge. Just, you know, throughout Katie's career, she's been involved in huge fights. She's been on a couple of Anthony Joshua undercards where she's getting massive exposure. So I think, from Eddie Hearn's perspective, although it is women's boxing, if it's a good fight, it's boxing, it's entertainment. So we're not really looking at it as men versus women. It's who's gonna go out there and put on a good show, put on a crowd-pleasing performance, and that's something that Katie's done throughout her career.
I think when you're in this position, you're putting yourself on the line to be criticized. I think I'm never ever surprised by the criticism. I think I've been dealing with criticism for my whole life, really my whole career. So I'm never really surprised by that, but but for people to call the fight a disgraceful decision or a robbery is definitely a disgrace in itself. I definitely thought that was very harsh. It was a close fight. You can't call close fights disgraceful decisions. As I said, when you're in this position, you are putting yourself out there to be criticised, and it's not something that I'm ever surprised by. I came back over here to Connecticut in January to train for the Serrano fight, which was originally supposed to be in May. It was obviously postponed due to the COVID-19 situation. And then it was rescheduled for July. Then that was postponed. And then obviously we got the day for August 22nd. And Serrano was coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse. And it's very, very, very disappointing. And, you know, we were looking forward to a history-making fight, really. A fight that people were looking forward to for these last few years. And for her to pull out of the fight was, it was hugely disappointing. I'm not sure if she really had any intention of stepping into the ring with me, really. But thankfully, we secured another huge fight. This fight against Pursuit is even a bigger fight than Serrano, really. It's a tougher fight as well. So I just want to be involved in big fights, as I said. So to get the Pursuit fight after Serrano pulled out was fantastic for me. Looking at Serrano's career, she's never really been involved in any big fights. She's never really stepped into the ring with anyone significant, really. She is a 7-weight world champion, but 6 of those 7 world titles are vacant world titles where she's kind of picked and chose her opponent. So I'm not sure really if she wants the big fights, if I'm being completely honest. And that's not me bashing Amanda Serrano. I think she's a fantastic fighter. But we really don't know how good she is because she hasn't actually stepped into the ring against anyone who can actually challenge her, I don't think. I think I'm going to be a completely different fighter on August the 22nd. I think people are going to see a completely different performance and a completely different fight from my perspective. You know, I think I got drawn into a bit of a fight in the first one, and that sometimes that happens. But I'm definitely going to be a bit more disciplined in this fight, and I'm going to be ready for whatever Pursuit throws at me. Really, as I said, I am completely prepared for this fight. I've been training for a big fight since January, so I'm more than ready to step in and put on a dominant performance on August the 22nd.
Look, there's no two ways about it. It was close last time around. Just as Katie admitted, it was nip and tuck. It could have gone either way. But now, the rematch is on after Amanda Serrano pulled out of talks. Katie got her arm raised back in June. But the challenger, Delphine Pursuit, has some fighting talk of her own for Saturday's return.
How do you say it? Here in Belgium, you got the paper champ and you got the people champ, they say. Here and here they say, I'm the people champ. But yeah, the support of the, how do you say it, surely the Belgian people, but also the other, how do you say it, boxing follow people. They, a lot of men and women say, you also had to win this fight, it's not correct and everything. Yeah, it's nice like this, but yeah. It's life, and I know also in my work, not always things are correct, and it's now the second time that times, and I hope this is a correct fight. I don't say I have to win, I don't say Katie have to win, I just want to be a correct fight, with correct judges, with correct of timekeepers, because yeah, the last round, also 30 seconds too short. 30 seconds boxing in the black, maybe this make the difference in the first fight. And I just want to be a correct fight with everything, how do you say it, goes on the correct way and with the best fighter that wins the fight. We thought we never get a rematch. From the beginning, then we say we want a rematch. We, how do you say, you get a response, but not a response. Yeah, there had to be. And then we say, there's going to be no rematch. She gone, how do you say it, me all the way and took other opponents to make her career. But no, yeah, we don't expect it. Maybe the COVID of the corona, how do you say it, make the difference, because a lot of fighters want TV rights and everything. And here in Belgium, TV rights, it's very difficult here. So I think maybe that's the chance I get to have the rematch. And yeah, I'm very happy about this chance.
A paper champ, you know. Wow. Pursuit lost her WBC title to Taylor back in New York, but knows victory here will land all the marbles. This has all the makings of an absolute classic. Now sticking with the challenger theme, there's no two ways about it. Chris Kongo has been avoided. Too Slick gets his chance to shine on the big stage this Saturday and believes he has all the tools to beat Luther Clay.
Once I finally signed and settled down with Dillian, I got the call. Within a week later, the fight was made. So that's the first time I did see him box last year against Freddie Kiewit. And then, yeah, that brought a little spark into my mind and said, this is the guy you're fighting. So my focus is on myself now, and we're going to get the win. Yeah, he's a good fighter. You can see him in his last fight. He brings the pressure. He's a pressure fighter. And it's gonna be a good fight, you know. I'll be ready for it, definitely. He's got the title, the WBO Global, and that puts me up in the rankings. And the only way is up from there. I read it as he just didn't want to fight. Reason being, there was more than five to six excuses, meaning that he wanted a crowd, meaning that he wasn't ready. He hadn't been doing no training for 5 weeks, not even a run. He hadn't done, meaning that his manager was looking elsewhere. So his manager saying one thing, and as a fighter, he's saying another thing. They're not together as a team. Even as a manager, you should be telling your fighter to stay ready, because I was on the phone to my manager all the time. Me and Dillian speak every day. We've got a group chat with us. We speak every day, we laugh, but we also know that we're training. So if I ain't training, he's gonna pick up the phone and say, hey, what are you doing? I don't focus on anyone but myself, man. Right now it's about how I'm gonna win this fight. My focus on me, so I know I'm gonna win. We don't care about him. He's already agreed to fight. The fight is on. If he pulls out, that's got something to do with him. He's got the title, he's fought and he's defended it. He fought in Italy in the guy's backyard. He won the title, he's come, he's defended it over here. So he's picked up a good resume for himself. And now it's time for me to add the name Luther Clay on my record.
Congo there speaking straight from the heart. He's linked up with Dillian White from a managerial perspective, which has already seemed a shrewd move of this fight and a massive avenue opening up at Fight Camp. One of Dillian's other charges is 3-0 heavyweight Alan Babich. The Savage steps up to fight Sean Del Winters this Saturday night.
Feeling awesome. Feeling like this is the place I need to be. I've been here full week here. Yeah. We had four opponents before him, you know, four opponents turned me down, so I said to Dillian, bring me anybody, you know, just anybody. I want to fight. I'm in the shape of my life, you know, so there's no excuses whatsoever. I like it like that. And I said, just give me the best one you can get. You know, and he did the research and the Winters came up as a guy. He has 13 victories, 12 by knockouts. I love it. When I saw that, I was like, yes, no, I'm getting goosebumps right now, you know. Because I have 100% knockout ratio, he has 99. So I just want a good fight, you know. Parker beat him up, you know, it's essential it was. But I respect Shandell very much, very, very much. And I think he's maybe a little on the downward spiral, you know. He's not on his top condition. I'm just getting up. So I think we match perfectly for this fight. I had good opponents. I mean, they were not my class, you know. They were all knockouts in first rounds. Shandell is definitely going to be a test for me, you know, and I'm ready for that. I'm sure in my victory, but I'm ready for a test. You know. I'm only old school. Right? You see, I'm a, how they say, small heavyweight. But when you see Muhammad Ali's weight, stuff, I'm bigger than Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was like 190, 195. So I love my weight and I want to fight like this. You know, I don't like it today in boxing. Everybody's so big, it's overblown. I can take a punch, I can knock out anybody, so I can go 15 rounds, I have condition, I don't need any extra weight. I really watch old school boxing, you know, Joe Frazier is my idol number one from the first day I saw him, you know. And of course Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, I get goosebumps again. I just love boxing, you know, I love boxing and I love the old school era. And I love the Duran era, I love everything, you know. Now it's a little bit quieter, you know, it's all these big guys and stuff. I want to bring something old into this new, you know, I want to be different. I think Dillian's going to, I said for the Rivas fight, he's going to win, and I'm telling it again, you know, because he's younger than Povetkin, he's much stronger, you know. Povetkin is a better boxer, he's an Olympic boxer, you know, in that technical stuff, but Dillian is a beast. If they get close, and Povetkin likes to fight close, if they get close, Dillian's gonna win 100%. If Povetkin does something different, some amateur style boxing, then it could be hard for Dillian. But I think Povetkin likes to slug also, so if it's gonna be left hook versus left hook, Dillian's gonna win the left hook. Fight camp has been great. It's just a dream for every fighter to be here, and I'm so humble and I'm so aware of it. What I get out of this fight camp, you know, everybody's home calling me, oh, you're there, you know, and the whole world is on the wait because of this corona stuff, and you know, so I'm very, very humble, and I know I'm gonna get 100% out of it. I wanna give the best fight that I had in me, you know. This is the best fight of my life, the most important one.
Listen, Winters is no mug having boxed Joseph Parker last time out. And he also has the experienced former world champion Montel Griffin in his corner. Babich himself, though, has sparred over 50 rounds with Dillian this training camp. The pair have been locked away in Portugal, grafting hard for the big night ahead. In addition to White's WBC interim title, the WBC Diamond Belt is now up for grabs for the winner, who can cement their spot as mandatory to Tyson Fury.
It's a great fight, you know. Obviously, Alexander Povetkin, Olympic gold medalist, hundreds of amateur fights, former royal champion, only lost to AJ and Klitschko, you know what I mean? His last fight in Saudi showed that he's still got a lot left in the tank, and he's very dangerous. He's got one hell of a hook on him and a shot overhand right that he throws, and it's very dangerous, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's motivated. He'd be motivated to fight me, considering seeing the last shape I was in for my last fight and stuff. So, you know, yeah. And I got a respect for him as well, you know, because even inside, he made him look like a good picture of us smiling and laughing. But that's how boxing is, unfortunately. I ain't got no beef with the guy, but I'm onto maximum violence stuff. Straight animal instincts. I say, I'm not overlooking him at all. You know, I'm not overlooking him at all. You know, I'm Russian. They know to prepare properly. And they're always tough and they're strong and well-schooled. We're like Russian boxers. They're tough, well-schooled, and they'll give you serious work, man. And I've learned from early days never to underestimate anyone. It's heavyweight boxing. And heavyweights nowadays is going a lot longer and still remaining a lot stronger for longer time as well. Obviously, people say, oh, he's 40, this and the other, but it's better than some 22-year-old guys out there. You know, there's heavyweights out there now that's younger than him, that he's way better than, you know. There's guys I can pick to fight now that would be, you know, I think he's a harder fight than Andrew Ruiz, because Ruiz might not come in shape. You know, Povetkin can definitely be in shape. His technique is very good. His technique is very good and he carries good power, you know what I mean? And he's got a good chin as well. Even Klitschko couldn't put him away, and Klitschko hit him with some hell of a punches. Took Joshua a bit to put him away as well. You know, Joshua hit him with some crazy punches. So, you know, he's durable, he's got good technique, he's strong, but it's my time, man. You know, it's my time, and, you know, I'm getting stronger, I'm getting better, I'm getting technically faster, technically better, feet's getting better. You know, I've had ups and downs, but now I'm in a good place, and, you know, I'm looking to end that distance. My last two fights went the distance. I'm looking to lay someone out. You know, I'm sorry if it sounds graphic or whatever, but that's where my mind is at the minute. No one can never say I was a coward, I was scared of this guy, or, you know, a lot of people say I didn't want the smoke, but realistically, when you look into it, it's them that didn't want the smoke, you know. I don't turn fights down, so I think sometimes my team thinks I take too much hard fights, but what's the point taking a fight that you go there and you know already 80% you're going to beat this guy? Like, you know, all you got to do is just train. You know, I like them fights where you think, you know, this is a good fight. I know I'm going to beat this guy, but how am I going to beat him? And, you know, the fight, I'm one of those good fighters that I adapt as the fight's going on. I work things out and I'm thinking, okay, I went in for a punch there, I got caught. All right, what happened again? You know, I love those kind of fights, son, because I'm still learning. 7 amateur fights, 28 professional fights. That's nothing. That's nothing. So I'm still learning. I'm still excited by the game. I'm still, you know what I mean? So, you know, I just want to fight the best people. And when I beat like guys at Povetkin, I take their experience, you know, Olympic gold medalists, I've beaten 2 world champions before. You know, guys have been boxing 25 years. I've been boxing now 12 years now, I think, you know. And a lot of it is spent outside the ring because of injuries and other misfortunate situations. I want to fight the best guys, man. You know, I don't want to... Like, now I could go and fight some nobody for the next 12 months and wait till my shot comes. But what's the point in doing that, you know? What's the point in doing that? That doesn't help me or improve me in any way physically and mentally.
And there we have it. Dillian White is bang up for this. Don't miss Fight Camp 4, sponsored by William Hill, live on Sky Sports Box Office this Saturday night.